Let's start. I wanted to talk about the Gemara on Nun Ches and Beis. The Gemara here is actually a very difficult shakar v'tayr. I found it to be a very difficult shakar v'tayr to work out all the details of all the shittos here. But we're kind of going to sidestep all that and not deal with that so much, but more deal with the issue of the Chiyuv Mezonos, which comes up in the Gemara here. So we'll just read the Gemara. The Gemara does relate to the Mishnah. We'll just read the Gemara from the beginning. Amar Rav Huna Amar Rav, Yichola Isha Lomar Lebaila Eini Nizones V'Eini Osa. So a woman can say to her husband, you know, don't feed me, don't support me, but I'm not going to work. It's going to be, or I'm not going to work at least for you. Here you go, guys. Mom comes. So as we learned the first year, for those who are here, only Eliyashiv wasn't here then, but the first year we spoke about how a man has certain obligations to his wife has certain obligations to her husband, and one of the obligations is that a man has to support his wife, and his wife is supposed to provide him with her whatever work that she does. She provides him with a certain amount of his work, of her work. So the Gemara here says Rav Huna's shita is that she can say, you know, I don't want to work, or I don't want to work for you. It's okay, you don't have to feed me, and that's not a problem. So the Gemara explains, what does that mean? Didn't we just say these obligations? Kasavar ki takinu rabbanon mizone ikar. When Chazal made the takana of mizonos, that a man has to support his wife, that was the ikar takana. Umayse yodeha mishum eva. And why did they make it that when a woman works, what she makes, what money she makes, or whatever she produces has to go to the husband? That's mishum eva. What does that mean? That, you know, if the husband's only giving, so he's gonna, at some point he's gonna be annoyed, like he's not getting anything out of this. He's just feeding her and she's not bringing any money. So Mishum Eva, so shouldn't be a fight. So Chazal made a takana of Maifi Adayim. So Vichi Amra Eini Nizonas Veini Osa or Shus Biyada. But really the takana is to feed her. The main takana of Chazal is to make sure she's provided for. So it's in her hands. If she says, and as a side effect of that, she also is supposed to provide with him, for him, what she produces. So if she says she doesn't want to be involved in this, she'd rather not have the takana, she could do this. And this is the Gemara in Bava Basra. The Gemara in Bava Basra says this is the source. Actually, I have it here in source 4. The Gemara says, Amar Rava, Kol HaOmer Yefshi B'Takanas Chachamim Kigon Zos Shomim Lo. In different contexts, says whenever a person says, I don't want this takana chachamim, which is meant to help me, Shomim Lo, I mean, he has a right to say that. And Kigon Zos. Says the Gemara, Mike, you go and Zos, Kedrav Huna Marav, Damar Huna Marav, Yichol Isha, Shetom Elabayla, Eini Nizones, Veini Osa. Since the takana is for her, she can say, you know what, I don't need this takana to help me, and the side effect is going to fall away as well. That's what our Gemara says. Now, before, there is a question, you're probably aware of, we alluded to the first year, and I alluded to the Marmakomus. There is a question whether the obligation for a man to feed his wife is Daraisa or Darabana. The Pashup Shah in our Gemara, the easy read of our Gemara is that it's only Mitzvah Takana Darabana, that a man has to support his wife. There are Rishonim who hold it's Daraisa, and that's not necessarily a steer to the halacha of Rav, because you could just say that according to Rav, there's a Chiyuv Daraisa to provide a person, a man to support his wife. And then Midrabanan, they made Maisi Adayim, but she can say, you know what, I don't even want the Din Daraisa. Just like we said in the Gemara, she could say, I don't want the Tachan HaSachamim, she could say, I don't want the Din Daraisa of Mizonos, and because Maisi Adayim is a side effect of that Din Daraisa, I'm not going to give you Maisi Adayim. So that Ergamara, the Din of Rav Huna, Amarav is not necessarily going to go against, it doesn't have to be Darabanan, although Ergamara presents it as a Din Darabanan. I'd like to come back to that, put that aside for a little bit. Second half, we'll talk about that sugya, whether it's Daraisa or Darabanan. But what I'd like to talk about first is this din of Rav Huna. What are the parameters? And with this, we'll get some interesting insights into the nature of these halachos. So, one question comes up that the Rishonim discuss is: let's say she says this. She goes ahead and says, "You know, I don't want to give you a Maisi Adayim. You don't give me mizonos, no problem." So what about other things that a woman is supposed to do for her wife? Here you go, Mama, come listen to her brother. So what about other things? So we are going to get to a Mishnah. You may have gotten there already on Daf Nun Tesem Beis, and Daf Nun Tesem Beis lists off a whole bunch of things that a woman is supposed to do for her husband and for the family. The Mishnah, you turn there to Nun Tesem Beis. Elu Malachos Sha'isha Osa LeBayla tochenes, she grinds, ofa, mechabesa, she cooks, she bakes, she does laundry, she nurses the children, she makes the beds, she does a lot of things. So the question is, what exactly are my dying this, or when she says I don't get mizonos, what does that absolve her from having to provide? So most of the Rishonim learned that if you look here at source 2, we have the Ritva. If you look 4 lines down the Ritva, one of the things, I hope this figure will be helpful, if you have a chance to look at any of the Rishonim on these figures, they're all over the place and kind of out of order in terms of addressing the different points. I'd like to just break down the different points. So the first issue is, how far, to what extent does it mean that she doesn't do Maisi Adayim? So the Ritva says the following. If you look 4 lines down after the comma, but she still has to do the other things. All those other household chores that a woman does, that she has to continue to do, because that is not made to be corresponding to mizonos. It's only the Maisi Adayim. Maisi Adayim, which actually the line before, we could have started a line earlier. V'chi amra hachi she'osa la'atzma davka linin melechas tsemer v'chayotzei bo. Misha'am melechas she'mavachas la'atzma v'zana la'atzma. It's the labor that she does that can make herself money. She makes makes clothing or, you know, tsemer. I don't know exactly what they were doing in those days. But those kinds of things, that's what she's saying she doesn't have to do, and she doesn't have to do in this case if she says she passes up on mizonos. But other household things she does have to do. However, if you look at Tosfos, on Daf Samach Gimel, it's in the middle of the Tosos Rav Huna, it's the third of the Y lines in Tosos Samach Gimel and Aleph. There's a whole discussion exactly there, another sugi about Moredis, which we'll get to, but if you look 3 lines down in Tosos, from where the lines get wide, and Tosos says, Eloki Amra Eini Nizonis Ve'eini Osa, when she says, I'm not going to do Maisi Adayim, Keturah Mikol Zayin Melachos. She's betuted from all the Zayin Melachos, referring to everything that was listed in that mission we just read on Daf Nun Testament Aleph. She can get out of all that. And that's what he goes on to say. However, the earlier in the Tosos, it comes out clearly in that Tosos, that even though she does, there's much more that she gets herself out of by saying that she's going to pass up on the food, there are certain things that she still does. And that, again, we'll get to in the Gemara. We may talk more, but Ian, about this sugya, but on Daf Samach and Aleph, the Gemara says basically all the time, unless it's a nida, but all the time a woman still supposed to wash, bathe her husband. In the old days, they didn't have showers like we have, and it's much easier to have someone help you bathe, so that was a very nice thing to do. So she has to still bathe her husband, she still has to make his bed, she has to feed him, she has to serve him food, Mosegas Lakos. That's what the tongue comes out from that Tosos, that even Tosos holds that she's allowed to just say, I'm not going to do anything. Those things she still has to do. Anyone have an insight? Why should that be? According to Tosos, she can really get out of doing anything. But some reason, these 3 things are different. Oh, very good. So, Matthew's quoting, I don't know if you saw this already, but Rashi says on Daf Samach Aleph Amad Aleph, actually, and Daf Samach Aleph Amin Aleph, Rashi says, when he talks about these 3 actions, the context of that Rashi is that the Mishnah that we just alluded to on Nun Testament Vayez, the Mishnah says, talks about, let's say a woman brings into their marriage maids. So she doesn't have to do a lot of these things, the Mishnah says. The Gemara says she still has to do these 3 actions we just spoke about. And Rashi there explains that while everything else is more serving as a practical role-playing issue. And what Chazal were trying to get at here with all these Mishnayos telling him what to do is that Chazal wanted to ensure the marriage is a smooth marriage. And smooth marriage, in addition to the lovely stuff of marriage, which we're about to talk about, there's also just practical things. Things need to get taken care of. So Chazal is delineated. Now, doesn't mean it has to be done exactly that way, but part of the understanding of marriage, you can actually push, you can force each other to do these things, because at the end of the day, you want to make sure practically the house runs smoothly. However, these other things the Chazal also advised to do, the Rashi says about them, Rashi says here, the milei dechiba in here. These are milei dechiba. Kadesh teschavev. I'm sorry. It's in Divrei Maaseh Lava Mozeges Lo Hakos. That's also Amitah, about 15 lines down, where he talks about the different types of making of the bed. You might be familiar with the Hilchos Nida, but he says, but since this is these are actions of chiba, kadesh teschavev olav. The way, reason Chazal told us to do this is because they wanted to engender love from the husband. Those, that's why they said that this should be done. And the end Rashi says, Chacham Misiu Eitzah Tova Lahanik Zosu Yisrael. Chazal are giving us an Eitzah Tova. And in fact, the Prisha, and I'm not sure, I don't remember right now in the Nosei Kelim and Shulchan Aruch what they say about this, but the Prisha, certainly in his commentary on the Tur, writes, yeah, the Beis Shmuel and Shulchan Aruch in Simon Pei, the Khan Chav Aleph, writes that we don't force, if let's say a woman's not doing this, we're not going to be kofa her, we're not going to force her, whatever forcing exactly means, while we would force her to cook and do all those other things and do the laundry, these actions we're not going to force her to do. Why? Because they were never given as requirements to run a smooth home, but they're rather an Eitzah Tova that Chazal wanted to make sure there's a relationship of love, and that's obviously something very important to Chazal, but not quite the same degree as those other things. Therefore, that's why Tosos holds that when you say in Zonas Deniosa, so all the practical things, the malacha, making money, and other practical things, she can say, I'm not gonna do this. And the Mizonos corresponds to that, so she says she doesn't want Mizonos, she doesn't do those things. However, these kind of actions of chiba override all the other rules, as is clear in the Gemara there, even though she has many maids, she still has to do these things, because Chazal wanted to ensure that there was a relationship of a chiba between the husband and wife. Yeah, and the Beis Shmuel, says it in Lamaisa, in Simon Peh. Beis Shmuel is on Shulchan Aruch. Oh, you're right. Rashi says it. Okay, very good.
It's just that
it brought down Lahalacha, yeah. Okay, I skimmed over that Rashi. I had seen it first in the latest verse. Thank you for pointing that out. Okay. So that is one issue that that is raised. Oh, interesting, in terms of how to paskin on this. So, as we just mentioned, there's a machloka. So the Shulchan Aruch gives us the Ramah has a very vague lashon. So he says, let's say a woman says, it's in the context of Shulchan Aruch, where the Shulchan Aruch says that Rekofa would force her to do things. And then the Shulchan Aruch writes, The Shulchan Aruch in Simon Pei Sif Tesvav, I meant for this on my Makom, so I apologize if it didn't get on the sheet. The Shulchan Aruch says that if a woman does not do these malachas that the Mishnah delineates, so then Kofen Osa Lachas, as we just mentioned, we force her to do it. And the Ramah interjects, yeah? These are for the non-chiba thing, correct. It's here is where the Beis Shmuel has comment about the those things about the Mishnah. So here the Ramah interjects, Chogzeh be'omeris eini osav eini nizonah. Sorry, eini osav v'nizonah. This is where she's refusing to do it, but she's still taking food. Aval omeris eini nizonah v'eini osav. She says, I'm not going to do this, but I'm not going to take any food from you. Hershus biyada. And she's allowed to do that. And then the Ramah writes, v'yesh omrim, da'afilu be'omeris eini nizonah v'eini osav, tzricha lasos sarchei habayis. So what's Tzarchei HaBayis? So that's the Machlokes and Nosei Kelim here in Shulchan Aruch. When it says Tzarchei HaBayis, does Tzarchei HaBayis mean those everyday actions? Sorry, does it mean the actions of Chiba? Or does Tzarchei HaBayis even include all the other actions of cooking and those things, cooking and cleaning? So that's the Machlokes the Nosei Kelim in Shulchan Aruch. The Pashtus is that it's not referring to actions of Chiba. And really, she still has to cook and clean and do all those other things because, getting back to your point, Matthew, the Ramah here concludes we're actually kofa for her to do these things. So that's the pashtus. But interesting, the Beis Shmuel says it's a machlokes. So the machlokes, the chalkas machlokes on the side of Shulchan Aruch pashtus that he does have to clean and do all those other things. And the Beis Shmuel says it's a machlokes, and he thinks the Ramah is not really being machriya. And he writes, how should we paskin that machlokes? Should we make her? Should we say she has to cook and clean, or should we say no, she's just enough for her to make the bed and pour and serve him food and this? So we got a bang with kula. In fact, there's mama that's kind of it's means that that's the cooler for right, so we don't do that. Right, so right, so it's not really not being motzi mamon, but the Beis Shmuel writes to Lashem that and it's Beis Shmuel or the Beis Shmuel says whenever you have a machlokas you don't have to do it, and the Piskei Tshuva explains long lines of Bill saying that it's she can say kinli, meaning she can say I paskin this way, I paskin like Tosfos, I don't have to cook for you, and he'll say no, I paskin like the paskin who we quote, paskin like the other Rishon, like the Ritva. So okay, but the girl saying you can't make her, she's allowed to take that side in this issue, which is not a, you know, with someone who says Matzah Chavar Varai, as far as that she doesn't have to go ahead and do it. That's the Beis Shmuel. But again, as I said, the Chagas Mahogig assumes that she's glad they have to. That's the Achara of the Rambam. Okay, that's issue number one. Next issue that the Rishonim address is the following. This is a little bit of a jump. Not a jump, but just another type of example. The Gemara on Daf Mem Zayin Lebeis has a brisa. If you turn back to Mem Zayin Lebeis, and it's the brisa that's actually quoted in our Gemara, which we didn't look at. We stopped right before this brisa. But the Mishnah on, hold your spot on Mem Zayin, just go back to our Gemara. We'll read the next line of our Gemara first, then we'll turn over there. So where we left off in our Gemara on Mem Chesim Lebeis, the Gemara has a kasha on this. We said for Rav that the Iker is Mizonos. So the Gemara asks, Akasha Mesvei Tiknu Mizonos Tachas Maisi Adeha. The Brisa says they were mitaking Mizonos Tachas Maisi Adeha, which sounds like they had Maisi Adayim and then they made Mizonos since she's providing Maisi Adayim, so they said he has to provide Mizonos. That seems to go against what we said before. So the Gemara answers, no. Ema Tiknu Maisi Adeha Tachas Mizonos. So the Gemara says, no, we should change the order, and it really should read Tikna Mizonos, Maisi Adeha Tachas Mizonos. Really, the Mizonos is Zikra, and because of the Mizonos, they made it Takana Maisi Adeha. So that's the Brisa on Mem Zayin Rebeis. Let's turn back there. In that Brisa, the Brisa also adds the following. If you see the two dots, skip down four lines from the two dots. V'Hachi Ketani, the Gemara has an issue there with the text. Chesur Mechzer, V'Hachi Ketani, Tikna Mizonos, Seha Tachas Maisi Adeha. In the original order before it was switched. So Mizonos because of the Maisi Adayim, Pirkuna Tachas Peros, Rukvurasa Tachas Ksubasa. So it says the second clause here is that Pirkuna, which refers to freeing her, if she's taken captive, that's Tachas Peros. What are Peros? Peros is she gets any property, now she explains, she gets any property along the way while she's married. So the fact that the Peros was produced by that property go to the husband, that is in place of the fact that he's going to free her if she becomes captive. That's what the Gemara says. So the Rishonim here, most of the Rishonim say explicitly or assume, if you look at the Rashba in the first source, the Rashba says, towards the end of the second line, V'chihepi d'mafchinan ha-ha-ha, in the same way that we flip in our Gemara, he quotes our Gemara, in the same way we flip the order and we say really, it's Maisi Adayim Tachas Mizonos, Mizonos Dekar, and then they just, because of Mizonos, they made Maisi Adayim. So too, we flip this, and really the Iker is Pirkuna, the Iker is freeing her from being captive, and they made Peros as a kind of balance out the fact that he's going to go, you know, his payment for going ahead and having to free her if she's taken captive. That's what the, Zezel Chanami Me'afkina and Pirkuna Tachas Peros, the Pirkuna Iker below Peros. So then the Rishonim raise the question, how much she says to her husband, look, if I get taken captive, I'm Mavate. Just let me go. Fine. I just don't want him to give me the Paris my whole life. I want to take the Paris for myself, and I'll take my chances, you know, if I get taken captive. Basically, she doesn't want any life insurance. She's gonna give up her Paris. So that's the Rishonim. Does she have a right to do that? That's the question the Rishonim here raised. Any thoughts? Chorah should be the same thing. And in fact, actually, the Rashbam and the Rabbeinu Gershom in Bava Basra, in that Gemara, where the Gemara quotes this idea, what we mentioned before, so they say, yeah, the same thing. Just like we said, she can say, Mizonos is really for me. I'll pass on my Mizonos, and I'm not going to give the side effect of my Zidane. She can say the same thing. I'll pass on my right to be free from captivity, and I won't give you the payroll. That's what they say. But all the Rishonim and Ksubis argue. So why not? Yes.
It's like a totally different thing.
If
you're dealing with like the
Let's assume it's not a Sazak, a Sazak kind of Sazak. She's gonna whatever. No, she'll be wherever she is. And she just says, "I'll live my life in captivity rather than having to. I'll take that risk rather than having to give you payroll." Assuming she's gonna not, you know, they're not gonna do horrible things to her and whatever, old school captivity, hold you for ransom, and he's not gonna pay. It's a big ransom. He's not gonna pay the ransom. But Ava's not really going to help us, because Ava, in our Gemara, what do you mean? They made Maaseh Yadayim. So they mean there's different motive. I mean, it seems to be a similar idea, because he's gonna have to potentially shell out a lot of money to save her, so they gave him pairs. Seems to be the same kind of structure.
In the case of those Maaseh Yadayim, if she said anything to Zodas Vinyosa, what she's saying is, I'm better off financially if we don't have this IDPPP situation. I'm better off keeping it for myself. But ultimately, the point is that she gets sustained somehow and she has to carry her weight. And she feels that she can do that better on her own, so then, you know, find the whole goes off. But in the case of Pierre and Pyrrhus, there's more to Pyrrhus than just the Pyrrhus. In other words, it's not just a matter of giving him, the matter of his Pyrrhus, but it does a lot independently, right? Well, because where there is no Pyrrhus, right? So it really is this kind of shift of.
What does it do?
And the Pyrrhus also is potentially. It could be astronomically greater than the
Pyrrhus.
I mean, she gets kidnapped
the
weekend.
Yeah. In a Chayim, but still, but if at the end of the day, if we start at zero, we would have thought there are no Pyrrhus going, it's getting changed, and you don't have to redeem her. Then Chazak will say, nah, it's not good to have her be taken captive, so you have to redeem her. Well, that's not. If you have to redeem her, you want at least to have something going, you know, getting paid a little bit.
The point is that the Pyrrhus is something that we really want to be talking regardless of the Pyrrhus.
Why? Okay, good.
Because we don't want her to get paid captive.
So you're saying good.
We want to have responsibility, but then we have to drive in the way of controlling that responsibility.
Right.
So Tosos writes.
I guess, Matthew, maybe you're saying this. So Tosos writes, on Mem Zayin Rebbe, Zero Masal Zimnin. I'm going to skip out of Tosos' first answer for a second, but if you look at Tosos towards the very end of Tosos, the second class line, fourth line from the bottom of the Tosos on the page, Akat Yish Lomar, the Lo Matzi Amra Inin Nifdes, Shalotit Ma Bein Ovde Kochavim. She's going to get stuck amongst the Goyim. That's not really a way for a Bat Yisrael to live. So that's an external reason why we want Tirkun. She doesn't have a right to give that up. So maybe I think it's the direction you guys are going. And the Shulchan Aruch actually says this. That's one answer Tosos gives. Tosos has another answer. But, okay. Then the Rashba, that same Rashba above, if you look at the Rashba as his second answer, we'll get back to his first answer also. So the Rashba says three lines to the end of the Rashba. The Ihi Mechaiva Lemekam Kanei Ushimushe. She is required to be in front of him, be with him, and to serve him. De kinyan kasbahu. Okay, going back to last week's year, kinyan kasbahu, but it's clear the Rashba can't mean that he owns her, because the Rashba elsewhere says explicitly not that way, but probably kinyan kasbahu means that, as we saw from Tosas HaRosh and Kedushin, that there's just a... kinyan kasbahu means that he owns her, at least vis-a-vis her, that she has to work for him. So harei kashibcha, and she's like a shibcha for him. Debaya l'shimushe, she has to work for him. Really, this whole situation, maybe this is what you were also trying to say before you said that last point, is that the takana of getting her or freeing her is actually, maybe it's the opposite of what you're saying. They say really it's the whole takana is not for her only, as we thought initially, but rather it's for him, because it's for her to get her out of being from in captivity, but it's also for him to get his wife back, to do the things that he needs to be taken done. All of us who are married know that It's really hard if your wife's not around to take care of things that she normally takes care of. We don't know how to do everything. So it's important for us to have our wives back. So they made payros to give us the means, to give the man the means to be able to get her out of captivity. And yes, sometimes it's not exactly going to work out. But a general idea, that's what's going on. And many other Rishonim, the Chachmei Sar, the Shvi'i D'Lairan says, the Rabbi Nekreskes, they all say this idea that it's part of it's not I'm right to say I don't care about getting freed from captivity, because it's on his shoulders as well. If you look at Tosos in the first answer, just above where we started before, so a few lines up, middle of the line, it says Yesh li ten tam. It says the following: Yesh li ten tam. Afa gav de Rav Huna yichola isha shetomer labayla in zonas. Even though we paskin that we can say. I forgot to mention, right, the Gemara in Ksuvah Sandaf Kuv Zayin paskins like Rav Huna, so we do paskin this way. Besides, even though we paskin that way, Hasam Mishum De'ena Machka'as Legamrei HaTakana. There, when she says, "No, you know what? I don't want the mizonos." So that's not going to undo the takana of mizonos. Why? Shim Amra Hayom Eini Mizonos Ve'Eini Osa LeMachar Tasa Te'Eini Mizonos. She'll say today. Tomorrow's Wednesday. She says, you know what, tomorrow I'm going to make good bucks, I'm going to make good money, I want to keep it for myself, and just, you won't buy me dinner tonight, I'll buy myself dinner. Okay, so she can say that. But she didn't undo the whole takana of mizonos, because the next day, it's a daily thing. It's mizonos, nice a dime, a relationship that goes by every day. So she says, they get married, and she says, you know what, I'm not giving payros for the rest of the marriage, and if I get taken captive, I'll get taken captive. She totally undoes the takanas payros. It's not like a day-by-day thing, like if I get captive tomorrow, you know, tomorrow I can decide what to do. No, it's a whole life's agreement that our whole life together, you're going to be getting payros. And therefore, you'll be ready to ransom me if you have to. So, what's the shot here? I spoke to Shadr over Sarfati, helped me understand exactly what's going on. I didn't understand what that means. Why can't she undo it? Sarfati explained the following. He said, what was the Takanas Chachamim? The Takanas Chachamim was for her to have the right to say, please ransom me if I get taken captive. The moment, the day she decides she doesn't want payros, it's over. That's Takanas Chachamim done. Because you need a whole lifetime of payros to cover potential ransom costs. So you can't say, today I'm not going to give you payros today. You can't switch off. It's a one-time thing. However, when it comes to Maisi Adayim, let's say she says, tomorrow, don't feed me. Okay, so then the next day, it's not undoing the Takanas Chachamim that Chazal wanted, or maybe the Torah, which we'll get to, wanted a man to support his wife. She just says, today I'm not gonna do it this way. So that's not a problem. That's not going against the Ratzon HaTorah, the Ratzon Chazal. But for her to say, I don't want to give you payless today, that's totally undoing, because let's say next week she gets taken captive, she says, oh no, I regret it. That's it. She gave that up. So we don't want to set up that situation where the Ratzon of the Chazal, the Ratzon of the Torah, is not going to be fulfilled. Yeah.
You were saying in the first case that she could be
chosen. In Ma'aseh Adayim, that's Tosfos assumes she can be chosen. So good. You're onto something. Because if you look at the Ritva in the next source, in the second paragraph of the Ritva, first he quotes that Gemara I just mentioned, Vasikna Uparchneg Dayaneg Zeros, Ifsika Hilchas of Hedek Ravuna, the Gemara Pansa Ravuna, Uddidasa Tosos, Avapisha Amra Hisha Vesin, and his owners Veni Osa, Tosos holds, we just quoted Amim Zion, Imratzalamacha, Shetirzaloma Harini Osa Lacha, Vinizonas Mishacha Rushus Biyada, the Mizonas Lacha Yoma, Chov Huba Amfe Nasha. So she wants to go the next day and say, I want Mizonas, she can't, because that's a Chiyav, a daily Chiyav. And the Rambam actually spells it out. It's the amount that Chazal were misaking to provide is food per day. Avol Mori HaRav HaLevi Haya Omer Zekevan She'amra Kein V'pam Echad. If she says it once, the basin Pak'a Takanas Mizonos Mina. The Takanas Mizonos is done. It's over. The Lolei Hevi Mila Derabanu Kechucha V'nirin Dvarav Chazal. She says, it's going to be a joke. If you could say, Chazal were misaking Mizonos. And Maisi Adayim can't even do. She comes in, today, No mazonos. Tomorrow, yes, mazonos. And the whole thing totally undoes what Chazal were trying to establish. We're trying to establish, you know, proper obligations to each other that would kind of work. And if she could just change at a whim, whatever day she decides, she can change every other day. So that looks like a joke. That's the Divrei Chazal are not really going to be fulfilled properly. And the Rashba has a similar lesson to the Ritva. The Beis Shmuel has a different shot than this. And the Ran also has this idea that Beis Shmuel explains it differently. But let's leave aside the Beis Shmuel for now. But this seems to be the general approach of Rishonim. So it's interesting that Tosos' answer is based on his understanding that you can switch off from Mizonos. So according to the other Rishonim, that you can't switch off from Mizonos. So obviously the answer to Tosos is not going to work. So the Rashba, in his first answer, goes with the approach of the Rishonim, that you can switch off. But the Rashba is a completely different approach to Tosos. If you look at the Rashba, the first source where the three dots end, Mihu afil hachi eini yecholos etomar eini nizones peiros veini niftes. You can't make that claim. Chada, the first answer, de'im kein maha uilu chachanim takanosam. Kol hanashim shiulahen peiros yu omros kein. Anyone who has peiros, so he assumes you can switch off any day, and that would be okay. He says today you have a lot of property. Your property is producing. You'll say, okay, no peiros for you. Tomorrow your property's not doing well, says, okay, I want to be free. So then he says, that's what we just said from the Ritva, he says it here. He says the whole Takan Sacham is gonna be undone. He says, Maho Ilu Chacham Takanasam is his Lashon. The whole thing is gonna nothing, she's totally in control of it. And if you skip down the next line, Masha Ain came towards the end of the line. Masha Ain came bibizonos. The kulan tsrichos mizonos v'choshishos la v'chulan osos mizonos. So by mizonos, while it's true, he agrees with Tosos, you can switch off. But he says mizonos, she's not going to do that because she needs food, l'maisa. People need food. So she's not going to really, it's not going to become a joke in mizonos because she's gonna want food. So he would say, you don't have to go as far as Rishwa to make an issue for her to back off. And that's why he explains the difference. That mizonos, we're not worried it's going to become a joke. So we'll let her say she doesn't want it, because if she says it that way, she must be very serious. She's not going to go back and forth. As opposed to the peiros, that could really become a joke. That's why we're not going to allow her to do it. Yes?
The women who don't have peiros will say, I don't want. And women who don't have peiros to give will say, you can play them. And women who do have peiros will say, don't.
Saying it's not the same woman.
Uh-huh,
meaning it's not going to be a consistency. So maybe he agrees with Tosa's assumption.
Okay, I hear. Women who have peros,
I was reading ukishilo yela and peros, and those same women when they don't have peros, but okay, it could be. It's interesting. It's possible way to read it as well. But either way, the point is that would explain why either in this individual would undo the Tanakh or as a general approach to marriage is that we undo it. Yes.
Whichever answer we go by, it seems like all the Rishonim are assuming that theoretically if we didn't have these beginning factors, but a woman could theoretically decide that, you know, now you have peiros, now you don't. I seem to remember, and you know, maybe I'm just remembering correctly, but from other folks
So what Joel is saying is that this could be the Rashba's not saying that. Could be the Rashba's saying a one-time thing for Peros, and you're right. I was reading it that, let's say you have a field, it produces some days, it doesn't produce other days. On the days it produces, she says, and there the Peros are going to go to the husband, she says, okay, I don't want to be taken. And then the day it doesn't produce, she says, for that day, there are no Peros, okay, you know, I want to be in this day.
I don't understand.
He's a kinyan lip hero,
so
thing.
Okay,
so I hear what you're saying. So then, but if Joel's read, I hear Joel's read. If Joel's read, we get out of that issue.
No, I'm
Because he's saying
your question is actually in general, if when you're a college woman, you're basically at a kingdom of the parents, so then how can Chazal suddenly stop saying you can start, the woman can start, restrict what the kingdom is on?
Well, again, let's just put up the situation. Might be a dying pair. Yeah. So when it comes to might be a dying, the pastor, the Tosfos writes over there. Right, Tosos writes over there, and his other answer is that you don't own the Maitri Adayim. So it's possible to go ahead and say on any day, on any given day, I don't want you to get these Maitri Adayim. Because that is open for a kinyan every day. So let's assume like that Tosos for a second. But, and as far as Peros goes, it's a very good point. And Rashi writes that the Peros have to be a case, not where you brought into the marriage and set it up that way, because you're right, you had a goof, you have a kinyan already from the beginning of the marriage, and you can't undo it. So it has. So I think, but with Joel Reed of the Rashba, but he's just saying it depends on the woman. A woman who has, and it could be worth talking that Pidyon and Peros could be a decision pre-marriage, not decided later in marriage. It could be the Rishonim discusses that wife shot Peros and that's Nisuin. So it could be this one is Dafka before Nisuin, and if you go with Joel Reed of the Rashba, so it's not. We're not saying that someone can go back and forth before that Kenyan actually happens. Say that again about left community.
In your Rashba, that case, in his first answer, right? He says that well, that's what should you want to do. You almost came. You don't have heroes. After all, still stuff.
Joel's saying, "Love coming in." If in general, every woman is going to be depending on. She's a wealthy woman. She's going to say, "I don't want to be next day." Not so wealthy woman says, "She doesn't want to be next day." The whole thing is not exactly the whole setup because I want is not going to work so well. Okay, so come back to where we were. So we're talking about the halacha of our gemara of Eini Zonos Ben Yosa. We jumped to as we shown him jumped to the issue of can she say that when it comes to Pidyon Peros, and I think we present the four answers. The middle answer, that's the two answers in Tosos over there, and the two answers of the Rashi. There's a third answer in Tosos, we lose too quickly. Okay. The third answer of Tosos is...
Is that
it? Correct, but you would get, you could, you don't have to answer that if you say that it's pre-Nisuin, so then...
Right, no,
and
I'm not.
We can
put the
self-limiting
for that answer.
Right, correct.
The answer doesn't work for
the
ring.
Correct. Rashi says, if you look at Rashi, when he says Tachas Peros, in the middle of the Rashi's there, Shu Ochal Menechse Meluk Shalah, Kidgon Nechasim Shenathula Mishenises, O Shahayu Lekodim Machain Shalah Shamasan Lo Benedunis Tsubasa. It has to be a case where it wasn't set up already. So it has to be a field that came later. Or it was when they originally got married, it wasn't put into the ksuba because it was put into the ksuba as an adunya, then it already belongs to him. And so Tosos Rashi is saying, yeah, Tosos is a nice answer, but that's not the case in the Gemara. But yeah, they're grappling with that issue, and I think you're right. Your answer, if you assume that way, your answer stands. Assume like Rashi, just avoid your issue. And the Rashi, I think you could avoid it as well. Okay. I guess we'll move now. There's one other interesting issue that we're still discuss, but I'm not going to look into it itself. But the question of you learn in our Gemara, so the Gemara talks about Maitri Adayim, and there's Mosar. And there's also a similar relationship. In the Gemara actually, there's Machlokas. What's connected? Maitri Adayim is connected to Mizonos. Mosar, the Ma Kesef that he's expected to provide. Mosar is the extra Maitri Adayim, more than the minimal amount he's expected to produce. And then the Gemara says, well, maybe it should be the opposite. And anyway, there's a discussion in the Rishonim whether, according to Rav Huna, can she say, I don't want the Maitri Adayim to go to you, and I don't want the Mosar, the extra that I produce beyond the minimum Maitri Adayim that's expected of a wife to produce. What's the halacha there? And I'll pass on my Ma'al Kesef, but we'll leave that out. We can throw it free for some discussion in the Me'iri for an interesting point there. So that's about that issue. But I'd like to move on to the issue of Jarek HaJarabon. So, anyone have any thoughts based on things that we saw so far? Other than Agamar, yes. We said Agamar sounds like it should be Darabon. Yeah.
Are you talking about the Ma'aser Moshe?
Ah, good. So that's good. Very good. So Rishonim actually bring that as a source, at least that we could say Rabbi Meir holds that source, that Mizonah is Daraisa. Well, let's take a step back before we even go there. Where could it potentially be Daraisa? If you look at the Gemara in Daf Mem Zayin, the Gemara in Daf Mem Zayin says the following, five lines from the bottom. Amar Rava, and the Gemara is talking about Mizonos, five lines from the bottom, Mem Zayin Rebeit. Amar Rava, Hai Tana, Savar Mizonos Mi Daraisa. This Tana that we're talking about over there, leaving aside the details, the Gemara holds Mizonos Daraisa, the Chiyah Mizonos Daraisa. This is Tanya. She'ira, the Pasuk says She'ira, Eilu Mizonos. That is the Chiyah Mizonos. And then he brings sources that She'er, so that's talking about food. Ksusa kemashmo, and it says ksusa shirok stava nasava yigra. You mentioned the first year that's possible by Amma Ivriya, that a man who has an Amma Ivriya has to provide those things for the Amma Ivriya, and the Rambam Sefer Mitzvos and Sefer Chinuch say, of course, this applies to all women. But that's the source for this as we're talking about here. So ksusa kemashmo, this is clothing. Onasa zo ona hamura b'torah, which is referring to tashmish shamita. That's the first opinion. Keno omer in tanes benosai, that's the source for that. Rabbi Lazar omer she'ira zu ona, he flips it. She'ira is referring to ona. V'chein hu omer ish yitzchakol shav b'sarolo, so gavu legalo serva. Ksusa kemashmo, and onasa ilu mazonos. Keno omer vayancha vayari vecha. So he flips it. All three are still there. Right? So he flips it. Rav Lozman Yaakov Omer She'ira Ksusa. Read it together. How do you read that? Lefum She'ira Tein Ksusa. According to She'er, according to her body, you have to provide clothing. Shelo Yitein La Lo Shel Yalda Lezkena Lo Shel Zekena Le Yalda. If she's a younger woman, don't give her older woman's clothing. If she's an older woman, don't give her younger woman's clothing. And the Ona, and then you should read Ksusa Ve'Onasa. How do you read that together? Lefum Onasa Tein Ksusa. Just according to the season, this isn't referring to time, it's referring to time, the season. According to the season, you should give her clothing. Don't give her big, heavy new clothing in the summertime. Lo Shchakim, not worn out thin clothing. Lo Shchakim in the wintertime. Adkan the Braisa. These are three sheetahs in the Braisa. So, how do we, I forgot what comment got me to start going here. But Matthew was saying something. But the pasuk pashas in the pasuk it says she'er is that's Tana Kamen's opinion. She'er is Doraisa, that's Mizonos. So the pasuk pshat we have the opinion of Rabbi Yaakov that seems to leave out the Chiyah Mizonos Doraisa, but the pashas should be that we should say it's Doraisa. So what did he say, Matthew? So the Gemara that we learned also on Daf Nun Hey Nun Vav gets into the sugya Masa Masa Tosaf Torah. So if you remember, so the Gemara says that Rei Meir holds if you say Hare At Mekudeshes Li Amanash Ein Alai Share Ksus Veona. So Rei Meir says Ein Mekudeshes because it's Masa Masa Tosaf Torah. So the Rishonim say, oh, must be Rei Meir holds She'er. They're assuming She'er is Mizonos. It must be Rei Meir holds that Mizonos is Daraisa because he calls that Masa Masa Tosaf Torah. But that's only Rei Meir. We don't necessarily have a proof that others hold that way. So basically what comes out there, indications, Lakana, Lakana, the Gemara. If you just read that Braisa, I think we all would have said, yeah, we're going to say Mizonos is Daraisa. Because that's Rova, the Shitas to Rishonim. So that's how we should pass. And that, in fact, the Rama passing in next, the back page on source 6. He says the 10 things of man is obligated. Asar shlosha mehen min haTorah ve'elohin she'ira k'sus ona she'ira ilum zonah se'ah k'sus k'mashma onasa v'chulei, quotes the opinion of the Tana Kama. That's what we would have said. However, the Ramban, in the Ramban here from the Ramban of Torah, says, we'll read inside, but the Ramban says it's Derabanan. Why is it Derabanan? So the Ramban says, it sounds that way in the Gemara. That's one of his arguments. And the Gemara we just started with, it says, Hai Tana. That Tana holds that it's Daraisa. That sounds a little bit of a lashon, says the Ramban, of like, yeah, that guy holds Daraisa. We don't hold that way. And the other Rishonim, tell you who exactly the Ritva points to the Gemara Bava Basra. The Gemara Bava Basra says we saw Efshiv Takanas Chachamim. So it calls it a Takanas Chachamim. So Mizonos, they're saying, I don't want the Takanas Chachamim Mizonos. And the Ran says that our Gemara is a raya, because our Gemara, we started with at the beginning of the shir, our Gemara sounds like also it's calling the zonas at takanas chachamim. So all these Gemaras sound like it's only midrabanim. And the Ramban adds that she'er, really this shot is a stretch. The pashas in she'er is that kiruv basa, the closeness. That's what she'er. She'er means a relative. It's a big jump. It's a big chiddush to say the she'er is in the zonas. Says the Ramban, that's probably not the pshat in the pasuk. So for all these reasons, the Ramban rejects the opinion of the Rashi al Torah, also quotes the Tanakhama, rejects Rashi, rejects the Ramban, and says that the whole thing is only midrabanan. But the Rambam says it's midoraisa. So how are we going to explain all these gemaros that sound like it's midrabanan? Oh, very good. So the Rashba in our sugya talks about it. The Rashba in our sugya hints to it. Hard to know what he means, but the Rashba in Daf Ayin speaks it out more clearly, and this is what he's hinting to. So look, the Rashba in Daf Ayin Mabez, the Rashba says, El Mishum Daf Ke'inu Rabbanan Lemezono Seha. What happened? The Chiyah Midaraisa, you have to feed your wife, you have to provide for her. But what happened? Chazal then used Hefker Bez and Hefker and said, not so fast. It doesn't quite belong to you, Mrs. Tony. It's not your mizonos. It's totally gomit. It depends on imtitein masayah dehalabayla. Are you going to give ma'ati a dayim or not? If you don't give ma'ati a dayim, Chazal are going to take it away from you. V'nimtzu mizonoseha tluyim b'ma'ati adeha shehein midrabanan. It comes out that her receiving of the mizonos depends on ma'ati a dayim, which is derabanan. It depends on it. It's a din derabanan. Her getting it is in derabanan. The obligation is daraisa, but at the end of the day, she's only going to receive it because Chazal want her to receive it, because Chazal could potentially take it away as part of this whole takana. That's why it's called takana sacham. That's the answer to the Rashi. The footnote here, they point, beautiful footnote there, and if I am Aviv, he points out that the Lashon, the Rambam, doesn't sound this way, because the Rambam says in one place that she actually gets it midaraisa. It's not just a chiyuv of daraisa, she gets it midaraisa. So the Pnei Yehoshua in our sugya has a different mahalach. The Pnei Yehoshua says there are two dinims in the zonas. And he says that the din da'oraisa, now the din da'oraisa is that he has to make sure she lives. That midaraisa has to make sure she has enough, bread that she can get through the day. Chazal instituted a higher level of mizonos, a chiyuv mizonos, to provide for her more than just to survive, to provide for her a decent amount of food. That's only midrabanan. The first one's daraisa, the second one's midrabanan. And the footnote in the Rashba, take a look there at some beautiful sources I wanted to get to, I'm not going to have a chance to get to, in the Mar Makomos, he shows in a few places where these two dinim are, they have a different nature as well. He says that the din derabanan is a monetary obligation. You have to provide for her a certain amount. However, the din deoraisa, that's a din of ishus. That's a din of a relationship. That you have to, part of a marriage is the man has to make sure his wife's alive. You can't let her just fall aside and not have any food to eat. That's a chiyuv of the ishus. Not a monetary obligation imposed like any other chov. It's not like he owes her money, but he owes her a relationship through providing for her needs. And in the footnote in the Rashba, if you take a look there, as many nafuminas, and it shows how this explains different halachas. The Chazon Sofer says this idea in the Tshuva, that this is an expression of ishus, an expression of what it's not a monetary payment, but rather a relationship between them, as expressed through providing for her sustenance.
Usually, it's more than just the minimum.
Right, that's what I would have thought. Right, right.
It sounds like power.
I also would have said that way, but the Chazon Sofer says it, and in there he in the footnote he shows it to show some very difficult halachos that can be explained with this distinction. So you can take a look there, and you can argue if you want, but that's how he presents it. I also intuitively I would have said the opposite, but that's how. But he does. There are two halachos going on, and that's how he presents it as well. What? Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. All right, so we'll stop here with the sugya. I just want to speak a few minutes. I spoke last time. I wanted to speak about a little bit of Muna. But anyway, there's some more Mar Makomos there that I didn't get to. Some interesting things. on the topic of Emunah, so the Nechiva Shalom, that he introduces his section of Emunah in Chelek Aleph, where he just starts by just recognizing the point that Emunah is the foundation of all of our entire spiritual life. That, and really begins when we're first young child, first the minhag of the Rachmach, the minhag of the Hasidim, to say Shema by the baby's bedside, the next for the bris, and the whole week before the bris. But anyway, that's young children start from young age, one of the first things they know to say is Shema Yisrael. That's really the second thing Rashi and Chumash said, that so after Torah Tehillim and Moshe. But Shema Yisrael is a fundamental part of a person's ruchnias, and really goes through their whole life, and when people die, if they're conscious and aware when they die, they say Shema Yisrael at the end of their life. That's really, this is their whole life, and the spiritual side of their life is defined by Emunah. But there's some chizuk also that's important. Last time we spoke about how Emunah is the key to staying away from Averus, but there's also a tremendous positive side. You should think, obviously, the positive side of Emunah, but just not merely, oh, I want to stay away from Averus, but also what Emunah provides for us, and what why it's so positive and so important to work on. So one, this Rutorsky, anyone was there, Rutorsky on one of the Thursday nights before Pur Hashanah, said the following, made the following ha'ar. The Rambam at the beginning, well-known Rambam at the beginning of Hilchos Yesodos HaTorah Perek Beis. So the Rambam describes the idea, if you look out in the world, he's talking about Yira, but it really is part of Emunah as well. If you look out in the world and you see Hashem in the world, so the Rambam describes, if you realize that, Miyad hu nirta l'achorav, he recoils, the Yivcha, and he's afraid, V'yodeh shu birya katana shefela afela omedes bidas kala me'utu l'fim tim deyos. So you're going to realize, you're so small, and you don't know anything. Think about the grandness, the grandeur of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so you'll feel so small. You'll feel like really, really, really nothing. And the Rambam, he pointed out that the Rambam in Hilchos Lulav, at the very end of Hilchos Lulav, when he describes Ahavat Hashem and Simcha, so he describes it as the following. V'chol hamashpil atzmo u'mekel gufo b'mekomos elu, talking about doing mitzvos, hu ha-godol ha-mechubar ha-ovi me'ava. Who's the ovi me'ava? The Ove Me'ava is the one who lowers himself. And of course he explained that when a person has humility and a person is not caught up in just filling his physical needs in this world, but he's selfless, then he has room for others, and most importantly for us, has room for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And when he has room for HaKadosh Baruch Hu in his life, then he is filled with tremendous simcha. You just think about yourself, always kesev leis bekesev. You just want to get your needs, you're not going to be fully satisfied. But if you're a selfless person, you're a humble person, which comes about through Emunah, through seeing HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world, that will bring us a tremendous simcha v'chaim. So the chizuk to work on Emunah, to realize not just it's an important mitzvah, but it's going to keep us away from Averus, but it's going to fill us with a tremendous sense of simcha in our life.